You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to make us disciples. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the year was about 1936. There was this guy named Nicholas Winton, and Nicholas Winton was a stockbroker in England. And if you kind of put yourself in 1936, you understand that there was some interesting things that were happening in another part of Europe at that time. You had this person named Hitler who was starting to take over countries, starting to do horrible things to especially Jewish people, but also some other people. Well, Nicholas Winton was supposed to go to Switzerland, and just to visit there and kind of have a business trip. And instead, Nicholas Winton actually had a friend who wrote him from what we now call Czechia or Czechoslovakia. And he wrote him and he said, there's this extreme problem that's happening. A lot of these Jewish people are dying, and we need to try to get some people out. And Nicholas Winton actually went to Czechia or Czechoslovakia, and he went there and he formed this plan. And as a result of this plan, he saved 669 children from being sent to concentration camps. And those 669 children were all sort of smuggled out and into England, where he was able to use his wealth in order to make sure that they got naturalized and all of those things. And those 669 children went on to live lives that they maybe would not have lived if they had stayed in the place that they were. Those 669 children had lives that were given to them by this one person who decided that he was going to do this courageous act. Now, when you look up those 669 children, you find out that there were at least 9 of them who went on to do great things. Some of them ended up being movie stars. Some of them ended up working in the British government. Some of them ended up being authors. Some of them ended up being scientists. You usually get this sort of list of the people that show up, and it's like, oh, okay, well, these sort of 6 to 9 people are these are the people that Nicholas Winton were maybe the proudest of saving, because these are the A-listers. These are the folks that showed up in our world as people that were valuable. But from the story, we know that there were probably about 660 of those kids that don't normally show up in that listing. And yet, they had that same gift given to them. They had that gift that they lived a life that perhaps they weren't going to be able to live had they continued to grow up in Czechoslovakia. And there's a little piece of us that kind of maybe wonders in the midst of that, well, you know, maybe if Nicholas got to choose which kids he was going to say, well, maybe he could have expanded that out. You know, maybe if he did something like the ACTs and the SATs for these kids, he could choose the right ones. Maybe he could start to figure out, okay, which kids are going to be the kids that I really want to save. But he didn't do that. And thanks be to God that he didn't. Because that's an image of what our discipleship looks like. That's written large throughout all of these readings that we have today, starting with that Old Testament reading. Now, that Old Testament reading is an interesting reading. It's this reading where, in terms of its context, God has basically just saved his people. He's brought them across the Red Sea. He's drowned Pharaoh and his hosts. And now they're gathered together. And they're still at that point where they're waiting for Moses to reveal to them the law, the Ten Commandments. And there's this conversation that happens. This conversation where God goes to Moses and God says, hey, you tell those folks that, A, I already saved them, but if they do these things, they will be my treasured possession. And Moses says, okay, I'll go tell them. And Moses goes down the mountain. He goes and he tells them. And what do they say? They say, yeah, we're going to do all of this stuff. That sounds awesome. But we know from history that they don't. We know from history that it doesn't take them very long to start worshiping a golden calf. We know from history that it doesn't take very long for them to repeat that process over and over again to say, yeah, we're going to do that. And then, oops, we didn't do that. And by the way, we started to worship another god. I mean, it's a problem for them. But it didn't change the fact that God rescued them from Pharaoh. I mean, we're talking about God. We're talking about the person who knows what the future is going to look like. The one who stands outside of time. The one who could have said, I know you're going to end up worshiping a golden calf. The one who could have said, Moses, I want you to put these 9 people at the front of the line. And the folks in the back of the line, I'm just going to have the waves crash over them too. But that's not what God did. God saved them all. Just like Paul tells us in that Romans reading, that Christ died for us. Died for us, everybody in this room, even before we were even an inkling of an idea that we would exist. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Telling the Roman Jews that he's writing to, that even them, that before they would come to know Jesus, before their hearts would be changed, that Christ died for them before that moment. That's how God operates. God operates in grace. And he gives us our discipleship in grace. He doesn't go to us and tries to find the one of us that's going to be the best disciple. He doesn't go through churches and say, okay, well, you know, these 9 or so, well, these are going to be the really good ones. And so I'm going to save them and everybody else, whatever. But rather, God says, I'm going to give you my grace and you my grace. And I'm going to give that funny guy up front my grace. And I'm going to do all of that before there is any rational reason that I should give them my grace. I think it's sort of interesting. We're walking through the Gospel of Matthew this year in large part as we go through these gospel readings. And the Gospel of Matthew features Matthew writing about himself. And we got a little bit of that last week where Jesus comes up to Matthew, and we understand from that that Matthew is a tax collector, and tax collectors were not very well favored. I mean, if anybody was supposed to not make the cut, it was probably the tax collector. And yet, Jesus goes up to Matthew and he says to him, "Follow me." And Matthew has been following him in the story for just about a chapter at this point, where Jesus solidifies the 12 that are going to go out into the countryside, the 12 that are going to be his apostles. And Matthew writes down, in terms of who those 12 are, who is on that list of people that Jesus is sending out, he still identifies himself as the tax collector. As somebody who shouldn't have made the cut, and yet is called a disciple, and yet is called an apostle. Not because of what he brings, but because of what God is making him to be. And that's our story as well. Now, God has endowed you all with what we'll call sort of first article gifts. The first article of the creed is all about God being the creator. And first article gifts are things that God has created in you. Some of you have been created with great skills in terms of understanding really big, important ideas. Some of you here are PhDs or PhD candidates. Some of you here have already made your way through a degree. Some of you just really know how to get things done. Some of you have that sort of understanding and that vocation of, okay, I can do this. Some of you have these first article gifts of just being a caring person. And that's important as well. Some of you have first article gifts of all sorts of other things. And we can see those first article gifts and we can celebrate them. But we can also recognize that's not why God saved us. God didn't save us because he knew that we were going to get a PhD. I'm sorry. You all who have those worked really hard or are working really hard to get them. God didn't save you because you're a veteran. God didn't save you because you're just a really nice person. God didn't save you because of the money that you make. God didn't save you because of any of those reasons. But rather, God saved you because he's a saving God. Because he looked at humanity and he said that is worth it. That is what I am willing to send my son to die for. From the person that in our mind we feel has the most worth, to the person in our mind who we feel has the least worth. Because as sinful human beings, we get stuck in those ideas. God says all of them. I don't quote Martin Luther a lot, but I feel like he had a pretty good quote about this. Luther, in one of his table talks, said that it is not because of your worth that God loved you. It is because of God's love that you have worth. And that's something for us to remember as we go out in our discipleship. as we go out in our discipleship, we all have different first article gifts. We all have different things that we can do well. And we can use all of those first article gifts in doing well. We can use our first article gifts to help the people that are around us. We can use our first article gifts in order to witness to Christ. We can use our first article gifts in helping make the world a better place. We can use those first article gifts in all of those different ways, but we also have to understand that those first article gifts are simply the thing that God is empowering with his love. It's like if you have a machine. That machine in itself is a great thing. Whether it's a computer or a car or something else, that machine is a great thing. It's a complex thing. It's an interesting thing. But unless that machine has some sort of power, that machine lays dormant, lays dead. It's not doing anything. It can be really impressive in terms of its gears and its gizmos, but unless it's powered, well, it's not very valuable. And that's what God's love does for us. He comes into our lives. He fixes the problems in our machines that are inherent, those problems that we have with sin. And then from there, he fixes those things so that he can then empower us so that when we start up, we maybe don't go ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk as much. And we start to behave in the way that he created us. We start to use those first article gifts that he created in us for his kingdom's work. So as you go out from this place, know first and foremost that you are loved. You are loved before you ever showed any sort of value to anyone. And it's because of that love that you have value. And that love gives you those first article gifts as means for you to go out in discipleship of Christ and to communicate that value to a world that, like Matthew's world, still needs to hear about this Savior named Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.